The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, those Jacksonville Jaguars might actually be for real, at least with what they've shown so far this season. And they were put to the test on Monday Night Football, and they actually passed the test for once. It's very, very shocking when the Jacksonville Jaguars are actually able to pass the test, but they most certainly did. You know, I actually was talking about it on Monday's show where I was like, I was kind of leaning towards Jacksonville, but I just couldn't take them because they haven't proven it yet. And I was just thinking if it's a close game that I was going to give the edge to the Kansas City Chiefs simply because they always pass that test. Well, guess what? The Jaguars did it for once. As a matter of fact, it was pretty much a back-and-forth game. I mean, it was all defense. Like I said, it was going to be. We had a couple of goal line turnovers from both teams. There was one point where the Jaguars went for a goal line run, and Trevor Lawrence reached the ball over the goal line and fumbled it. And the Chiefs were able to get the ball, and the Chiefs were right at the gate, 14-0. So it looked like it was going to be them all night. And then all of a sudden, the Jaguars started turning the tide, and they were able to actually get an interception when the Chiefs were in the red zone, and ran it back for 6 points, or ran it back for a touchdown. And right after that, it was pretty much just a very close game, and the Jags just kept in it. And for once, even though the Chiefs went down, basically it felt like it was going to be a game-winning drive. They left about a minute 48-ish on the clock for the Jags, and I was like, well, we'll see. The Jaguars are notorious for fucking up in the final 2 minutes of a game and usually just messing up, so you had to watch them. But, I mean, the Chiefs set them up in good field position because they kicked the ball out of bounds on the kickoff. So they started at the 40, and then it was just they got a penalty that helped them. And then they get up in into the red zone, and all of a sudden, Trevor Lawrence drops back. His offensive lineman steps on his foot. He falls down. And so I'm thinking, oh, shit, this is probably it. But he gets up, and then he runs for the touchdown and actually has the game-winning touchdown, and the Jaguars end up with the 31-28 win, which was just crazy because they only left about 20 seconds left on the clock for the Chiefs. So it was pretty much done there, and the Chiefs got chiefed again. So maybe they're falling apart, and maybe the Jaguars are legit. We'll see. They are in a, I was going to say they are in a weak division, but I mean, then you got the Colts in there who are also 4-1 on the season. So, I mean, it's not that weak, but I mean, I kind of feel like the Jaguars might actually be for real. So we'll see. I mean, it is only week 5 in the NFL. So that's not a whole lot of football, but they're playing some damn good defense right now. But it was actually kind of nice to see them pull through. And hey, maybe we're going to see a new tide turning in the NFL because, you know, we have dynastic runs like the Chiefs have had. And usually it starts to turn at some point, and it looks like it's turning right now. So we'll see, but there's a lot of season left to go. So let's get into the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. We do have a new number one. And then a little bit of shuffling, but for the most part, it's pretty much the same teams we've been talking about lately. Beginning with number one, the Detroit Lions, who are 4-1 on the season. And to me, this is the most complete team. They are playing the best football. Kind of feels like they are getting better with each and every single game. Right now, they have 22 total touchdowns on the offensive side of the ball, which leads the league. So that just goes to show you they are blowing everybody out of the water. Then you turn to the defensive side of the ball. Right now they've got 6 interceptions, 6 forced fumbles, and 16 sacks. So they are getting it done on both sides of the ball. And they just look so good. That's pretty much just what it is. And so I had to put them at number one because to me they are playing great. They seem to get better with each and every game, and they just are suffocating with both the offense and defense. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 4-1. I mean, they just suffered their first loss of the season this week, and it was a weird game, but I mean, at the same time, it was a division battle, and those are always weird games, and those are games you tend to lose sometimes just out of nowhere, and that's basically what happened with the Bills. I kind of feel like they just overlooked the Patriots in that one, and the Patriots were just able to get by, but still, Buffalo's still a damn good team. I mean, Josh Allen having a phenomenal year, 1,217 passing yards, 9 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. So he's having a great year. Defensively, they look stout. So this team just looks really good, and they look like they're ready to make a Super Bowl run. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Philadelphia Eagles, overall record of 4-1. They just suffered their first loss of the season as well. But still, you know, I keep saying it about them, even though they're boring, even though they're not blowing anybody out of the water, even though pretty much every game they've been in this season has been close, so what? That was basically the story of last year, and really, until they start falling off, I'm going to have to keep believing in them, and I'm going to have to keep believing in them, even though they have all the turmoil with whatever's going on with A.J. Brown and the rest of this team. Who knows? They had the turmoil last year, and they won a Super Bowl, so until they actually legitimately fall apart, I still have to believe in the Eagles because they are the same exact team from last year. They play suffocating defense. They have a great ground attack. They have a lot of talent, and they're fully capable of beating anybody they go up against. Then at number 4 in my top 10 NFL power rankings at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, overall record of 4-1, and it's just, man, this team just looks good too. Each and every week, they kind of remind me of the Detroit Lions. I feel like every single week, they're getting better. Baker Mayfield, 1,283 yards, 10 touchdowns, and only 1 interception on the season. So not only is he lighting it up, but he's extremely efficient and not turning the ball over. But he does have a lot of offensive weapons to work with, but still, even so, he is having a phenomenal year. This defense, even though they didn't look that great in the last game, they still are a very solid defense that's able to get at the quarterback, cause some ruckus, cause some turnovers, and this Tampa Bay Bucs team, it just kind of feels like they're going to keep riding the wave all season long, especially because they are not in a good division, and they just look really damn good, so I kind of expect the Bucs to not have many losses in the loss column for them this season. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Pittsburgh Steelers, overall record of 3-1. Now they're just coming off of a bye week, so they're just sitting pretty right now. But the defense is getting back to being the typical Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Right now they've got 7 forced fumbles on the season, 5 interceptions, and 14 sacks. So they are starting to get at the quarterback. They are starting to create havoc in the backfield. And then, of course, on the offensive side of the ball, very efficient. They're getting it done. Kind of feels like they're getting better as the season wears on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, it doesn't matter if Aaron Rodgers is, you know, he's not the same old Aaron Rodgers where he's going to run around and make the big plays, but he's still got a great arm, still accurate as hell. And this offense has looked very solid with him at quarterback. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Jacksonville Jaguars, overall record of 4-1, and this team still leads the league in turnovers. They have 15 now, and this defense, they're a killer, and it's what keeps them in the games. It's their offense that I look at, and it's still a little bit shaky. You could still tell they have some growing pains to work with, but still, they were able, this win against the Kansas City Chiefs, and hell, they beat the Niners a couple weeks ago, too. Those are two big wins against two solid teams, and I feel like those are just huge confidence boosters for them to keep it moving through the rest of the season, and those, of course, are huge, huge wins you could just point to, especially because both of them were comeback wins. Well, not the one against the Niners, but it was a close game, and they had to make some big plays to end up getting the win, and that was the same thing with this game against the Chiefs, and those are always great games that help you once the season wears on, and hell, once you get to the playoffs, sometimes you're in those situations, and you go back to that Chiefs game, and you're like, shit, we were down 14-0 at one point, and then we made the big plays, and all of a sudden, here we are. But that Jacksonville defense, they're legit, and they are what's up. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Indianapolis Colts, overall record of 4-1, they have 18 touchdowns on the offensive side of the ball, so they are having zero issues scoring themselves. They are very efficient on the offensive side of the ball. I've got to say, though, you know, Daniel Jones, while he's had a solid year, and the receivers have been stepping it up, it's all about Jonathan Taylor. When he is good, when he's having a great game, that this team runs perfect. And Jonathan Taylor leads the league in rushing yards right now, 480 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns. But defensively, they are getting at the quarterback. They're causing some turnovers. Right now, they've got 14 sacks, 6 interceptions, and 2 forced fumbles. So they're really playing some all-around solid team ball right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that is starting to fall apart after their second loss in a row, the Los Angeles Chargers, overall record of 3-2. And it's really, you can tell the injuries are starting to pile up. And Herbert is just running for his life. He's just not having a lot of time to set his feet and get the ball out there for really anybody. And then they had some turnover issues in the last game. And so you could just kind of tell that they're starting to get a little bit frazzled. Now, they do have a lot of talent, but we'll see if that offensive line ends up being a problem for them, because right now the Denver Broncos are starting to surge. And they might end up starting to fall behind then, and that might be the team that ends up taking the lead in this division. Speaking of the Denver Broncos, they are actually number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings. They are 3-2 on the season. They actually lead the league in sacks. They have 21 sacks on the season. So obviously they are wreaking havoc in the backfield. And that's a huge reason why they're getting some of the wins that they've got so far. Offensively, they still have their issues, don't have a lot of consistency on the offensive side of the ball, but you can see the growth. And like I said, this defense is keeping them in it. So as long as this defense keeps playing like this and the offense has time to grow, hey, they just got a win over the Eagles. That was a big deal. And that's just kind of what I feel about this Denver Broncos team, is I feel like they're a good team, but I don't take them that serious just yet. But they definitely are in it. They are great defensively. It's just the offensive side of the ball I look at and I go, they're kind of loosey-goosey, but we'll see how they go as the rest of the season wears on. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Washington Commanders, overall record of 3-2. And this team has a sneaky good defense as well. 15 sacks on the season, so it's not really shocking. I mean, Dan Quinn's always been a defensive mastermind. But, I mean, he doesn't have a lot of standout players on the defensive side of the ball. It's just great team football that they're playing on the defensive side of the ball, and just really taking care of business, all of them doing their jobs. And then on the offensive side of the ball, they're also doing the same thing over there. They just look like a really solid team right now. All right, so moving on to Thursday night football matchup this week is actually a division matchup. Now, in most cases, it would be a good one, but I don't think this is going to be a good one. I think it's going to be kind of a runaway. That's because it's the Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. Right now, the Eagles are a 7.5-point favorite. And even though usually the division matchups are a close game, the Giants are just a bad team. I know they got their one little win, and they got all excited about Jackson Dart. But, I mean, this last game, it was so bad with the turnovers, and they're just not a good team at all. And I just kind of feel like the Eagles, they're coming off of a loss. So they're definitely going to want to beat somebody up. They're probably pretty pissed off about last week's loss. So they're probably just going to want to make sure that this rookie knows that he's a rookie, and probably give him some welcome to the NFL moments in this one. Wouldn't be shocked if this ends up being a crazy defensive game for the Eagles, causing some turnovers, really just making the day difficult for Jackson Dart. And I just kind of feel like the Eagles are going to roll in this one 28-10. All right, moving on to playoff baseball, which has just been amazing. There was a game last night, which is just the epitome of why I love playoff baseball. We'll get to it when we get to it. Let's start off with the game 2, Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Philadelphia Phillies. This one was actually a very, very close matchup. It started out looking like the Dodgers were going to run away with it, but then the Phillies started to get back in it in the ninth inning, but Freddie Freeman did what Freddie Freeman do. Instead of making the big play behind the bat, he actually made the big play behind the bag. And he made a game-winning snag that basically saved the game for the Dodgers. So now they are up 2-0 on the Philadelphia Phillies, and they will be playing game 3 tonight. And the Phillies have to win tonight, or else they are out of there and the Dodgers move on. But, I mean, the Dodgers look like they did last year. You know, they had a shaky regular season this year. But so far, the playoffs, they've been dominating. Snell dominated in this last game. 6 innings pitched with 9 strikeouts. So they look pretty damn good. So Philadelphia better come to play tonight, that's for sure. Then game two between the Milwaukee Brewers and the Chicago Cubs went to the Brewers, 7-3. Big game from Jackson Churio, went 2-for-4, had a home run, 3 RBI. Contreras had a home run. Vaughn had a home run. Actually, game three is on right now. Last I checked, the Cubs had a 4-1 lead. Actually, it looks like it's coming back from commercial break right now. Let's see. They're not going to put the score up immediately because I want to see the score right now. So, come on. Okay. Nope. They got to bring up their stupid DraftKings bullshit because they got to get their advertising in there. But it would be nice if they would pull up the score so I could actually see what the game three score is right now. But it looks like the Cubs, they were winning. Oh, okay. They're back. All right. So Cubs are up 4-2 right now in the bottom of the sixth inning. So we'll see if they're able to keep this series going, because if they lose tonight, they are gone. Then game three between a really, this is a great series between the Seattle Mariners and the Detroit Tigers. Game three all day was Seattle Mariners that got the win 8-4. Cal Raleigh 2-for-4, home run, 3 RBI. Gilbert pitched a gem, 6 innings pitched with 7 strikeouts. So game four was obviously had to win for Detroit, and they went big today. It actually looked like Seattle was going to get the win. They came right out the gate and started scoring runs. They were up 3-0, and then all of a sudden Detroit woke up and they started scoring runs. Baez had a home run, Torres had a home run, and Detroit got the win 9-3. So we have game five. We're all tied up here in this one. Game five will be Friday in Seattle. So that's for everything. So we'll see who's headed to the ALCS in that one. But the game of the playoffs so far was last night against the New York Yankees versus the Toronto Blue Jays. Holy shit. It's a third inning, and Toronto's looking like they're going to cruise in this one. You know, Vlad Guerrero had another amazing game himself. This dude has been, he walked right up, had another home run. He's got 3 home runs on this series. I mean, he just acts like he don't give a fuck, and he was having a great game, and it looked like the Toronto Blue Jays were just going to roll. Yankees were going home, and then all of a sudden, the Yankees just fucking woke up in the fourth inning, and they just started getting guys on base. And then all of a sudden, that dude Aaron Judge walks up to bat, and it's a 6-3 lead, and there's 2 guys on base. So if Judge hits this home run, it is tied. And so he gets this great pitch that he just misses, and it's just, you just watch that on replay, and you're like, dude, that would have been out. Next pitch, inside, hits it up. And when you hear it, you're like, oh, my God. And it's kind of curving, so it's looking like it might go foul. And it was one of those where it just bounced off the foul pole for a home run, ties that shit up. Yankee side up 6-6, and then they just start running away with it after that. Jazz had another home run later on to take the lead. And then the Yankees just never looked back after that, and they got the win 9-6. Aaron Judge ended up going 3-for-4 with a home run and 4 RBI. And game four is tonight in New York, so we'll see how that one ends up. But it was a great game. Just because, like I said, that's the epitome of why I love playoff baseball, because sometimes when you're watching it, you're like, oh my God, this game is so boring. Like, I was so close to actually changing the channel because it was 6-1. It was the third inning, and I'm like, oh my God, this is just looking like the Yankees are going to get beat just bad. And then I was like, well, it's only the third inning. They got the offense to come back, and boy, howdy, they came back, and it was just totally worth it. And it's just exactly why I love baseball, because you were down 6-1, and then all of a sudden you come back and you win the game 9-6, and you keep the series going. And hey, they could be eliminated tonight if the Blue Jays let that get to them last night, but the Blue Jays are not going to go away kicking and screaming. So the Yankees better bring it tonight. So moving on to the AP College Football Top 10 this week. Had some movement, but not a whole lot of movement. I mean, number one, still Ohio State. They're 5-0 on the season. I think they're going to be getting one of their real legitimate tests this weekend against number 17, Illinois. But I wouldn't be shocked if they still end up 6-0 next week. But Ohio State remains number one. Number two remains Miami. They are 5-0 on the season. Number three is Oregon. They're 5-0 on the season, and they will be playing number seven, Indiana, this week, so that's another big game for them. Then at number four, we have Ole Miss. They're 5-0 on the season. Five is Texas A&M. They're 5-0 on the season. Six is Oklahoma. They're 5-0 on the season. Seven is Indiana. They're 5-0 on the season. Like I said, they will be playing against number three, Oregon, this weekend, so one of those two teams is going to finally suffer a loss. Then at number 8, we have Alabama. They are 4-1, and they will be playing number 14, Mizzou, this weekend. Then number 9, we have Texas Tech. They are 5-0 on the season. And number 10 is Georgia. They are 4-1 on the season. So that's how college football is looking right now. I just kind of feel like we're getting here where the teams are going to start going up against their division opponents. I just kind of feel like we're going to start to see some of these teams who are undefeated start to lose some games here because we're getting to closer to the end of the season. Well, it's more like the midway point of the season for college football, and some of these teams are going to start beating up on each other, especially in the SEC, because all the teams can, even the bottom of the barrel teams are going to give you a run for your money. So we'll see how things end up next week, but not a lot of crazy games this weekend. Just a couple that I mentioned. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.